You're listening to the Multifamily Journey Podcast. In this show, you'll hear industry experts share tips of success and failure from their real estate investing journeys. You'll get a transparent look behind the curtain while you learn to fulfill the lifestyle you want to live and achieve your wealth goals. Get ready for the journey to financial freedom through investing in multifamily real estate. Here's your host, Blake Daly.
So today is a great podcast to show you that you don't have to work long hours. You don't have to do all this crazy stuff and make sacrifices to be successful in real estate. Today, you're going to hear from a buddy of mine, Marcus, who is also in my mastermind, about how he has been able to reach his goals and achieve things that, you know, were his 1 year goals or were his 3 year goals turned into his 1 year goals. So in the last 10 months alone, he's made massive progress through investing passively. That means he doesn't have to worry about, you know, fixing toilets or doing all these things because he's a passive investor. So a little bit about Marcus. He is a husband. He's a father of a 6 and a 3 year old now. And he's an active duty Navy officer with over 19 years of service. And he's currently stationed over in England. So what he's doing is taking his family around England right now and around the country or around Europe, traveling through different places and loving that. He started investing in real estate 16 years ago. And in 2016, really ramped it up and formed a partnership with his brothers. And just over the past year, he's expanded his portfolio in a big way through passive investing. And you're going to hear about he's done private lending and he's invested in multiple syndications. And he took his 3 to 4 year goals when he gets out of the military and turned that into his 1 year goal. And he's blown it out of the water. So you're going to hear a lot of good things about how it doesn't take everything out of you, right? You can find ways by finding the right people to invest with. And that's what this show's about, right? Opening your eyes to different strategies and letting you know about different things within real estate so that you can go out and choose what's best for you. So let's get into the show. All right, Marcus, welcome to the podcast, man. It's awesome to have you on.
Hey, thanks, brother. I'm happy to be here and excited to share some of my experiences with you.
Awesome, man. So why don't we kick this thing off with how you got started and your real estate journey and, you know, where you are now?
Yeah, you know, today, you know, we hear a lot of real estate investors, I think, you know, read Rich Dad, Poor Dad or something like that. And then like two months later or something, they're putting in offers and or something. And my story is a little bit different. You know, it goes back about 16 years ago, I guess, when I was 22 years old. When I bought my first piece of real estate, and I was active duty Navy. I was enlisted. I was going through a commissioning program. I got sent back to college. And so when I was there, I was actually buying a condo, a personal residence for me to live in, which I eventually house hacked and then rented it out after I left college. And I still own it today. And so that's, you know, kind of goes back all the way 16 years ago. But over the course of probably the next 10 years or so, it wasn't making offers left and right or anything crazy. I kind of I kept that property, and within that 10 years, I bought another single family house as well as about a 36 acre farm. And so over 10 years, I only really made three acquisitions, you know. And so and then in 2016, we kind of started up in the game a little bit with my brothers and stuff. We kind of got together, decided real estate was something that we wanted to do together to kind of start building some generational wealth and making a difference in the community around where we grew up. And so we started buying some single family house and multi-use space together. And in the past year or so, since I moved to England, you know, I've kind of expanded a bit into some other areas, private lending and into some syndication. So kind of a broad spectrum there over the course of 16 years, and certainly have picked up the pace quite a bit in the past 5 and specifically the past year or so. So happy to dive a little deeper into any areas there you'd like me to.
Yeah, absolutely. So it sounds like you started kind of the traditional path with Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and that's where a lot of real estate investors start with. That's how I started. That was the first piece of real estate content that I consumed was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I was like, man, I got to get into real estate. So I know a lot of people are sitting in those same shoes and looking where to get started. And for you, it started with single family and then a farm. And, you know, over those 10 years, it wasn't as active as you are now. So what happened in the last 5 or so years when you decided to get into it with your brothers and make that transition to be more active?
Yeah. You know, when I first bought that first condo and stuff, I've always been kind of a little bit of an entrepreneurial type and a finance guy. I majored in finance. And so when I bought that, I was 22 years old, and I bought it kind of as, you know, it's kind of the American dream type thing, right? To like own your own property. I knew it was like a good financial position, but it was more out of buying it and like over time building up equity. You know, I wasn't really doing the math of like what it would look like as a rental property or anything like that. So when I left, I kept it as a rental. You know, it was just kind of ultimately it was a finance decision, but it wasn't like real estate's the way I'm going to go. And the single family house and the farm were kind of opportunistic that I kind of fell into a little bit. And that's why, you know, just a couple more over the 10 years. And even when we started with my brothers, I think I read Rich Dad Poor Dad after having bought the condo, you know, so those kind of wheels started spinning about what real estate can really do for you and things. And so I kind of started thinking about real estate, but initially it was kind of like, I'll get to this at some mm-hmm. point in time. You know, I'll do it a little bit later, something like that. And when we started the business with my brothers, again, it was kind of an opportunistic thing. There was a property that came up for sale. Actually, it wasn't even on the market for sale. I found out that it was going to be for sale, and I kind of reached out about it. And it is in our hometown. And I said, hey, you know, your brother had also reached out about this. My brother was deployed to Iraq at the time. And so, you know, I wasn't going to compete with him on the property. So I reached out to him and we started talking about it. And we said, hey, we're both interested in this real estate thing. And for similar reasons, you know, kind of wanting to start to build generational wealth for our families and to improve the community and stuff like that in which we grew up in. And so we just kind of started working together and said, like, hey, let's do this together. And that's kind of where that took off. And so we kind of got into that first property. And then, you know, over the course of, you know, about 3 or 4 years, we acquired about 12 doors or so together in that area.
That's awesome. So you guys were able to combine forces and have more of an impact together. That's really cool. Where is that small town that you're from?
Yeah. So originally from Monroe City, Missouri. So up in Northeast Missouri, pretty small rural town. And that's where quite a few of our single family properties are in that, and also some multi-use space to include some commercial and stuff as well are there. And then we have a couple of properties in some college towns and, you know, about an hour radius from that area.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. And that's a good point of, you know, wherever you are in the US, you know, people might say, hey, I live in Seattle, it's too expensive to live here. Like, invest in where, you know, maybe that's your hometown or where you have family. So this was a good combination of those factors for you to go out and still make it work, even though you're both in the military traveling around.
And that's absolutely right. And that's, you know, we're both in the military, and it's part of the reason that had a lot to do with why we invested there and stuff. And ultimately we brought in our other brother. So there's 5 of us all together, 3 brothers and then our 2 brother-in-laws. And that has a lot to do with why we invested there. Number one, you know, we were moving around a lot. That's the area that we knew. And then of course, one of my brother-in-laws is there, another one not too far away. And so they're kind of our boots on the ground and stuff. And, you know, we already had relationships with banks and insurance and some contractors and things like that. And so, you know, instead of trying to build a team in a different geographic area, we kind of already had it there, you know, and it's a different model, you know, in a small rural area and stuff than other markets that people look at. But there's just some different considerations that we have to take into account.
Yeah. But that seems like it's in that market though, that's your competitive advantage, right? You know it, you know, the people, you have the team set up there. You don't have to go invest in a hot market where everybody else is investing, right? You can find these little pockets where you can find cash flow and, you know, whatever strategy that works for you.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And there's, you know, we've always seen a demand for rentals in that area. It's just, you know, like there's a kind of a high level of what people can afford to pay for rent based on the jobs that are available or things like that. And so we just have to take that into account when we're making our acquisitions and stuff. But from a demand perspective, we constantly have people asking us if we have anything available. So that hasn't been an issue.
Yeah, that's a good point. Know your market for sure before you jump in. So that's at a time when you're starting to get more active, and then you got this assignment over in England. So you're stationed in England right now. So investing from across the pond, how is your investing shifted now, and how's your strategy changed now that you're overseas?
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, from an active perspective or something, you know, a lot of people talk now about like the long distance real estate investing. And so on my active portion, in some ways, that aspect isn't that any different because I haven't been there recently anyway. You know, in the time I've been investing in Missouri, you know, I lived in Colorado, California, Hawaii, other places. So that part's always been kind of long distance. There's certainly time zone challenges for coordinating stuff or whatever. But one of the big adjustments I've made is kind of into adding some passive investments and stuff into my portfolio and stuff as well. And, you know, part of to kind of get into a little bit of how that kind of came about, you know, I was about it within the year before I moved over here to England. You know, I'd already started the kind of the active stuff over the past few years with my brothers. I started going to some meetups and stuff, and I kind of, I had this goal. I'm just a few years out from retiring, and I kind of have this goal of replacing my, you know, military income with income through real estate. But you know, at the pace I was going, and agreements we have within our LLC, most of that stuff's kind of staying in it. We're not doing distributions to individuals at this point in time. And so, based on when I wanted to make my transition out of the military, I wasn't really on a pace to fulfill that goal. And so, I knew I needed to kind of up my game a little bit and start doing some stuff personally and stuff like that as well. And so I come over here to England, and in order to meet that goal, you know, I joined the mastermind, which is how we met, right? And part of that was to have some accountability, to make sure I was taking the actions to meet that goal to replace my income. And through the mastermind and the networking, you know, I started being exposed to just a lot of different types of strategies, a lot of different opportunities and stuff as well, as you start talking to people. And so that's where some of the passive opportunities kind of presented themselves to me. You know, there's a lot of strategies and stuff that I could have jumped on that still required some level of being active. But, you know, going the passive route on some of them allowed me, number one, it kind of gave me an in to learn more about, you know, whether it's private lending, to do some passive investing through a limited partnership. You know, I might want to be a general partner and do a more active role when I have some more time after the military. And it kind of gave me an in to learn some of that kind of stuff. And ultimately, one of the big decisions for me was, you know, I'm here in England with my wife and a six-year-old and a three-year-old. And we only have one chance to be here for these 3 years. And I wanted to protect some of my time while we were here. You know, I came off some pretty high op tempo tours over the past few years, and I wanted to protect some of my own time so that we could experience England and experience Europe, you know. And so that's why I kind of went down. I still have, you know, a lot of the active investments with my brothers, but that's why I kind of expanded into the passive portion to keep my money working in real estate and to learn and educate and some of those strategies, but to protect time for my family. And I think sometimes, you know, we have to take a pause and reflect why we're doing what we're doing. You know, why do we get up in the morning before work? Why do we stay up late at night after the kids are in bed?
Yeah, you gotta pull your head up sometimes to see, gain that perspective, because sometimes you can just lose. I know I'm guilty of that. You know, like I'll work too hard and kind of just leave a trail of chaos behind.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there might be a point when we go back home and, you know, make my transition out of the military that I take a more active role in some other investments later on. But for this time in my life and where we are, some of those passive opportunities were the right ones for me and for my family.
Yeah, that's awesome. So backing up, right, it's, you know, looking at you and your situation, your timeline to retire out of the military, wanted the real estate investments to be set up in a way at that time, you know, that you have the income coming in and don't feel that that hit of the loss of income or the reduction of income because you still have the retirement. So what's that timeline looking for you? And then how do those goals play into it? I know you mentioned the mastermind, which for those listening is the War Room Mastermind. It's for all active duty and veteran service members. So Marcus mentioned that the key of this mastermind is you get people from all different groups, backgrounds, which private lending, flippers, wholesalers, which is really good and helps us all grow. So how did that play into that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I mean, the mastermind has been huge for me. And we, you know, like I said, I joined it for the accountability to make sure that I was taking some actions to kind of meet that goal. And so the way I kind of broke it down is, you know, I kind of did the math of, you know, hey, here's what I'm getting paid today and what I expect for my pension. And like, what do I need to make up from a monthly perspective? And I wasn't on a pace to meet that by any means. And so when we
and what's that timeline you're looking at? Like how long?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Retirement so, piece? So I've been in for 19 years, so I'm eligible in about a year. However, based on the decision to come over here to England, you know, I'll probably come back to the States and do another tour just kind of logistically and stuff. So in reality, I'm probably looking at about 3 to 4 more years before I make the transition out of the military. And yeah, so I was not really I started talking about how real estate stuff was going to, the income was going to replace my income. But when I really looked and did the math, I wasn't taking the actions to make that happen on time. Right. And so, that's what kind of, you know, made me, you know, the decision to join the mastermind when we started last fall initially. And, you know, when we started, we all kind of set up a goal of like, hey, here's my 12 month goal. And I based my goal, you know, it could be the number of doors that you bought or cash flow or whatever it was. And so my goal was a cash flow goal. And, you know, that was going to increase, I think it was like $500 a month or something for cash flow. And I based that, and I was just going to increase that over time on a glide path to meet my retirement and where I needed to be. And, you know, to tell you like the value of people and mastermind and how that does. Right now, I joined in October. So we're shy of a year, 10 months, about 10 months at the time of this recording. And I've increased my monthly cash flow by close to $2,000 a month. Man, in that time frame.
Yeah, that's the power of, you know, networking and bouncing off ideas and sharing opportunities and being part of these groups, whether it's, you know, in person or, you know, through Zoom and calls like we do weekly and monthly with the group. So you're saying in 3 to 4 years you wanted to increase it, what was it, $500 per year to that time?
Well, that was my first year's goal.
$500 that first year, and then this mastermind sharing these ideas helps you get to 2,000, and that's been all through passive investing now, correct?
Yeah, that primarily that increase, because I've done a couple new active investments with my brothers, but like I said, like we're not doing any distributions, so that's kind of all staying within that company. So I'm not counting any of that. All of the monthly stuff is from passive investments over the past, and really, I didn't start until after the first of the year. So, but it's been the past 10 months income has been coming in.
Man, I love to hear that. That's the power of passive investing. And then that too allows you to be more hands-off, enjoy your family more. And while you're over there in England, like you were saying, you just got out back from this trip going around Scotland and I don't even know how many other countries. Looked like you're doing a world tour. I saw it on Facebook. It was awesome to see all that. So that's the kind of power that passive investing can give you, especially as you build up your portfolio and have that cash flow coming in. You mentioned it earlier for active investing, there's a lot of actions you have to take, right? Investing, right? You mostly vet who you're investing with up front, and then you kind of let it run. So love to see how, you know, that balance of active investments and passive investments have helped you have both contributed to help you reach your goals and, you know, get closer to that, to your goals as you get closer to retirement.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so when we started the active portion, it was really a long game for us. And like I said, there's five of us in that group. And so we kind of have to not, we weren't all, when we started that, we weren't all on a timeline to meet my goals for when I was retiring from the military, right? So that's a pretty quick timeline. So it was kind of a longer game for our families. Mm-hmm. And probably somewhere between, you know, what my military retirement would be and the your traditional retirement age, you know, for others and stuff. And so we kind of, you know, had an agreement of we'll leave so much money in that in the business over time and kind of let that build. We'll kind of build a good foundation and some equity and stuff like that there. So that's going well. However, the intent and how we talked about that, like I said, wasn't on a path nor intended to support my military transition specifically. There's four other partners there. So that's really awesome from a long-term perspective and what it will do for our family and the stability there. And there's been a lot of learning and growth in doing that, you know, whether, you know, you learn a lot of, you get your hands dirty, whether it's, you know, finding the deals or the communication and relationship building with banks and insurance and contractors and tenants. And, you know, sometimes, you know, maybe I'm the one swinging the hammer periodically. That doesn't happen a lot because I'm not there, but if I'm home on leave visiting the family, yeah, you know, I usually spend some time doing that. And so there's been a lot of value to me in doing that, a lot of education in doing that, you know, fortunately not any, you know, huge blunders, but there's been plenty of, you know, small mistakes or lessons learned.
Yeah, there always is. Along the way, yeah. Never goes as smooth as you think. Like there's definitely pieces of real estate that are awesome and can be super passive and just like have your equity go up in net worth. But man, absolutely, there's some stuff that can just create some headaches, which they don't always, you know, talk about on social media posts. They make it all out to look all good. So
yeah, and like we talked about before, you know, investing in a small community and stuff, you know, there's not as an abundance of, you know, contractors or things like that as you would find necessarily in a larger market. And so sometimes our property management or whatever, right? And so there are challenges associated with that market that we might not deal with in other places. And so there's just, there's been a lot of lessons learned there, but a lot of education, a lot of value in my journey on doing that. And like, that's in our hometown community and stuff. And so we build a relationship. We're trying to, we have a couple commercial properties that were empty that we've brought businesses back into, trying to bring life back into the community. And so we've built relationships through doing that. And there's been a lot of value there. You know, as I, over the past year, on the passive side, there's been a lot of growth there and stuff as well. And ultimately, you know, I think a lot of us that are investing in real estate, eventually we're trying to create financial and time freedom and stuff, right? So that the goal for most people at some point in time would to be passive in some nature, you know, and maybe that might be through an active strategy where you build a team and processes in which you can kind of pull yourself out of eventually and it kind of runs more on its own. Or maybe it's just a passive strategy. So eventually I think that's most people's long-term goal is to be passive in some nature so that they can buy that time freedom. And I, you know, I don't think I'm strictly shifting to passive and offloading the active. You know, it's the point in life that I am right now to spend with my family. And, you know, I might shift back at points in time as well, but the opportunities that I've had with the passive, over the past year, you know, the growth, that a lot of relationship building, you know, coming through the mastermind. And as I've started to invest passively with some of those people, in fact, you know, get more into that later, but everyone that I'm investing with passively right now, I've met basically through the mastermind, you know, one I knew ahead of time that's in the mastermind today, but it's all relationships built through that mastermind that I'm investing with.
There is no better asset class for building wealth than real estate. And in most instances, people don't have the time or energy to invest in it on their own. So how do you build wealth with real estate when you lack the time and energy? Leave that to the Growth View Properties. The Growth View team finds, negotiates, and manages multifamily assets for private investors. Their mission is to help investors secure the ultimate asset, which is time, all the while impacting the greater good with their endowment fund that fuels the mission of charitable organizations. Find out more by going to thegrowthview.com. That's view with a V-U-E.com. Put your money to work so you don't have to at thegrowthview.com.
Yeah. And yeah, so
that's a huge piece to it for sure. Something I wanted to break down right there. There's generally two approaches that I've seen the most common that people get into real estate investing. And it's either they start passive by investing with other people and learn the ropes from them, and then can go and transition and do that themselves and like have those systems already set up to where they're not grinding and making all those mistakes themselves at the beginning. You know, you kind of flatten your learning curve. And then you start active, learn how you want to set up the business. And then you get to a point where, like you're saying, you want your time, you want your freedom, you want time with your family, and then they transition to becoming more passive. So there's two kind of journeys along that path, and both are, you know, not to say one's better than the other, but they're two systems. And I plan on doing the same thing, kind of like you're talking about now, is, you know, do the work now and then invest passively later on, set up the system so I don't have to, you know, constantly be doing everything in the business, but have the time freedom and the cash flow that it affords to go, you know, live the lifestyle. And I think that's what attracts a lot of people to real estate. So this is an awesome topic, and glad we get to dive into this a little bit here. So I guess to transition into that, can you explain a little bit of the difference between your time spent and energy spent, like headspace spent, whatever it is, on your active investments compared to your passive investments in the, whether it's the private lending or the syndication stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so on the active investments, you know, certainly I have partners there. So, you know, it's not necessarily on me all the time to make every decision, but we basically kind of act in unison to do that. And so I do a lot of, when you talk about the headspace and stuff like that, I am involved a lot with, you know, identifying new investment opportunities. I am involved a lot with, you know, the coordinating the financing with the bank or that kind of stuff. And even my brother-in-law takes care of a lot of the property management aspect of it at home, but, you know, he does look to us, you know, to contribute when repairs need to be made or things like that. And so, you know, a lot of times those, you know, like this past week, I'm in Scotland and stuff like that, right? Like, fortunately we didn't have any big blunders during that time, but,
yeah, thank
you. You know, it's like, yeah, but you know, when you're on the active side and you're out there on that vacation in Scotland or whatever, and you get the, you know, you get the message that, you know, it's 95 degrees and the AC broke down, or, you know, the sewage is clogged or whatever it is, right? Like those things need to be taken care of pretty quickly. And some of that has to do, like, hey, you might have great property management already in place. We manage quite a few of our properties ourselves. We do have some property managers, but a lot of times when those things pop up, you know, those are people's lives. You know, if it's 92 degrees and the AC broke down, that's a family that lives in our house, right? Or we have a couple commercial buildings, and if something goes wrong, like, it's a small business. Like, that's that person's lifestyle, and, like, you know, that's how they make their money.
Yeah, that's something I deal with here in Florida too, is I had a couple ACs go out over the past year, and like down here in the Panhandle, it gets so hot, like it'll be 90 plus degrees and very humid. It gets hot pretty quickly in the house, and right, like you're saying, that affects people. There's stuff that requires, you know, your attention right away.
Right.
You know, leaks would be another one, because it's going to cause damage. So there's definitely things that are going to take some diligence on your part.
Yeah. So, and you flip that over onto the passive side, you know, whether, you know, I've done some private lending for some fix and flips, and then, you know, a limited partner in mobile home park and apartment syndications and stuff like that. And in those cases, you know, if there's an issue, you know, while I'm up there in Scotland, I don't want to say not my problem, but not my problem, right? Like, I'm not the one that has to deal with that problem at that point in time. And so those investments, you know, you kind of do the due diligence up front. You know, you build the relationships, you do the due diligence on the operator or the people that you're investing with. And you know, maybe the deal specifically, whether it's, you know, a fix and flip for a single family or whether it's an apartment complex or whatever it might be, you know, you spend a little bit of time up front on it. But once you invest your money, you know, it's kind of up to you. You know, I mean, if you want information or, you know, things like that, you can be, but you can be as hands-off as you want to be, because you have trusted those people to invest your money and to use it wisely in that investment. And then, you know, on the back end, when you start to get paid out. When you talk about the headspace and the time commitment and stuff, and that's kind of the luxury of the passive investing perspective, right? I can go off on an international vacation with my family, and the passive investments aren't keeping me awake or anything. You know, it's like, maybe that the active investments, I might get a text at 2 a.m. or something, saying something went wrong. So there's quite a difference there.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Those are the things I'm trying to cut out of my business right now is those texts and those messages, and put the systems in place, property management, things like that, where that's, you know, not to say it's not my problem, like you said, but not my problem. Right. And then you mentioned right now, so like your two passive investments, well, the two different kinds have been private lending and then syndication, whether it's mobile home or multifamily apartments. So can you break each down and explain, you know, how the private money lending started out, and then, you know, how you got to the syndication as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and even in the private lending, you know, the way thing, private lending and syndications, like each deal can be like a little bit different, you know, structured differently and things like that. But yeah, so after the first of the year, you know, my first investment, private lending investment, and it happened to be with someone I'd known for about a year, and had, you know, so I'd kind of started building that relationship. I'd been to meetups with this individual and talked to him on the phone and, met in person one-on-one a few times. And so we kind of like built that relationship. And as I said, you know, I was wanting to keep my money invested. I had some capital available from a personal property we had sold before coming over to England. And I kind of wanted to get that into the real estate game a little bit. And so that's kind of how that kind of kicked off. You know, I knew that there were some opportunities there to do some private lending with them. And so that's kind of how I got it in there. And that one was kind of nice, because like there's a pretty steady flow of properties. And they have a kind of a track record. And so while the money is, so kind of the process, right, is that, you know, I wire the money to them. We'll write up a promissory note, wire the money over to them.
What is a promissory note for those who might not know?
Yeah, the promissory note's basically an agreement, a legal document that's basically stating that the person that I'm lending the money to will pay me back the money that I invested plus a certain amount of interest. And, okay, you know, it may or may not state in the promissory note, the specific property that you're lending on, or in some cases it might not be a specific property. It might be
what he's talking about there is it could be secured or unsecured, which secured is the notes secured by the asset. Unsecured means it's not secured by the asset. So you wouldn't have recourse to go get the property. You
right.
could, you know, are owed the amount or the interest as laid out right. in the promissory note.
And in most cases, I shouldn't say in most cases, the preferred for if you're lending, you know, it's more secure if it's secured. And if you have like a lien position, so if the title company, you basically get like a first lien position, or maybe it's a second lien, depending on how it's structured. But that way, yeah, if something defaulted, then you have access to that asset to go.
Yeah, basically you can foreclose and get the house and then, you know, still have a way to recoup your money and your investment.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that particular one, you know, like I do have a first lien position on a property each time I lend with them. I don't do, admittedly, as much due diligence on every single property, just because it's a pretty constant flow of properties. There's a track record there. And so, I know they've taken care of investors even when they haven't come out on a property before. And so I'm a little bit, you know, less concerned maybe specifically on that. That one of the other places, you know, I'm doing some private lending again on fix and flips, but you know, it's been structured a little bit differently. You know, I instead of wiring a set amount up front, you know, I did some gap funding between the what was provided by a hard money lender, so basically paid the down payment, but I've also made some incremental additional payments for like interest on the hard money or some of the rehab or things like that throughout instead of all of the money up front. So, you know, I've done some things structured slightly differently on the private money. So those, this year I kind of initially did out of capital that I had in my hand from a property that we sold, as I mentioned. And one of the things I'm doing to kind of optimize that a little bit is I'm kind of shifting over to do some of my private lending like that from a self-directed IRA, right? Instead of right now, those are kind of short-term investments. You know, I get my money back every 2 to 6 months, probably. But there's not really any tax benefit to doing that. It's kind of a short-term investment on those ones. And so I'm kind of shifting that over to my self-directed IRA so I can kind of reap some of the tax benefits.
I'm really, really glad you brought that up because that's a huge point for private lending and just investing in real estate in general is that you can do it out of your retirement account. So your 401k and your IRAs, you can roll those into self-directed accounts, invest in real estate. You can invest in notes. You can invest in syndications. You can do all those strategies and still get the tax benefits of those retirement accounts. So you can, you know, defer it or whatever. So
yeah.
What you're saying there is when you start out with the private lending, you're just wiring the funds out of, you know, personal account or whatever. And then those are not, basically you get taxed heavily on those. But
that's
now
right. Just as if you're getting interest from a bank, basically you're getting taxed the same way.
Yep. So now when you roll that into your investor, your IRA, pay the taxes up front and then it grows tax-free essentially.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And I'm not a tax specialist, right? So, you know, consult your CPA or whatever, but that's the reason I'm shifting that over to do it through the self-directed IRA and the limited partnerships through like syndication stuff. You can do that through your self-directed IRA as well. I intend to kind of do that investing outside of my IRA for some of the tax benefits that you get outside of an IRA for those types of things. So, I'd done kind of those couple of those private lending, and then again through the mastermind, met you know people that were general partners and stuff that had opportunities that were available, and you know for me to invest passively and kind of get into started kind of getting interested in kind of the affordable housing, workforce housing, whatever you want to call it there. So either be it mobile home park. Or certain apartment syndications and stuff as well, and so I've made a couple of those investments in the past few months as well.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. So now you have multiple streams of passive investments. That's awesome. I love to see that creating horizontal income. So can you get into the syndication now and how that works? You mentioned that the GPs are the one that run the deal, bring it together, and then you invest it as an LP, correct? So you're the one. You get an equity position for bringing capital to the deal, but then you're passive. You don't have to worry about managing the property, the toilets, any of that. And you just, you get the returns of the building and have, you know, in multifamily have ownership of the asset, but don't have to do any of that stuff involved with running it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, so as you said, you know, the general partners and, you know, that might be 1, 2, 6 people, you know, whatever group that is, the team that they've pulled together, you know, like, they're the ones putting in the real legwork up front to go, you know, identify the deal, whether it's, you know, maybe they're identifying the market, the specific deal in that market. You know, they're doing all the relationships, the due diligence on the property, trying to structure the deal. Even the couple of syndications that I'm involved in are structured extremely differently as far as, you know, how and when the limited partners will be paid, you know, so. They're the ones putting the kind of the business plan to determine, you know, if it's kind of a, you know, if they're going to try to add a value add or something like what opportunities are available to increase the occupancy or add value to the property. You know, how long do they intend to hold it? You know, putting together that business plan, whether, you know, they're going to try to improve the value and sell it in 5 to 7 years or whatever that might be. So they're the ones doing a lot of that legwork up front. And then, you know, they might have some financing, whether they might get some seller financing, they might have some financing through a bank and stuff. And then there's a certain portion, you know, kind of might be like the down payment portion, or maybe some of the rehab or whatever. There's a certain portion that they're going to try to raise from private lenders. And so, those lenders are the ones that kind of come to the table and, you know, won't get too deep into it, but, you know, like depending on whether you're accredited or sophisticated investor and stuff, you may have to have a pre-existing relationship with the general partners to know about the opportunity or the deal that they're presenting. So once they, you know, that opportunity is presented, you know, as a limited partner, you kind of just have to, you know, I do the due diligence on the people up front, right? Like I try to build relationships with general partners that I would want to invest with over a period of time. And if they're not someone I want to invest with, I just don't get on the list to get the opportunities, right? Like I'm not going to ask for your opportunity to be presented to me.
Yeah. That's a really good point. Like you want to, you know, as a passive investor, know who you're investing with and, you know their strategy, be comfortable with them. And I think we talked about this on a past show. It's like the triangle of know, like, and trust. So you want to know, like, and trust your operator or the GP. And you know, that trust bit takes time, because right, you're giving up some control as a passive investor, right? You don't have voting rights. You're not the one driving the deal. You're not behind, you know, the you're not in the driver's seat, basically. You're in the back seat getting taken along. So you definitely want to trust the people that you're investing with. Can you speak to how you have fostered those relationships and built that trust enough to be able to give somebody, you know, 50,000, 100,000 or whatever, and trust them to be a good steward of your capital?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like I said, you kind of the triangle there and stuff, and just to getting to know them and like them. And, you know, some of it just starts out with like conversations with them, getting to know them, their background, how did they get into investing, you know, maybe like, you know, their family, just general stuff to know them as a person, you know, and then kind of their real estate strategy. And then getting into the trust part, you know, I think that a lot of that with me, it comes through the communication, but like the honesty and the transparency is what really is a big thing for me, right? Like if you're willing to talk about mistakes that you've made in the past, deals that haven't gone well, things like that, like that's, I think that, you know, carries a lot of weight. And certainly I hope it's not just a trend of all mistakes or things that didn't go well. You know, I hope there's some, yeah, some wins in there as well, you know, but if someone only tells you about the home runs, and doesn't tell you about when things went awry, when something didn't come out well, for them, you know, maybe they did get lucky and maybe they have, only had some successes, but when people start to get transparent and talk about struggles that they've had and how they dealt with them and things like that, then I think you start to have a connection. You can have a connection there, right? Because they're being open with you. And so I think just building that over time.
Yeah. Just showing their humanness, right? Like those right. Mistakes and stuff have contributed to how they've grown and where they are now, right? Like nobody invests in real estate for any length of time and just flows through it and doesn't have mistakes or setbacks, right? So talking about those shows kind of a transparency, right? You, as investing with somebody, you want to see that they're transparent and giving you the real look at the investment, yeah. Right? Not some smoke and mirror show like, that's oh, right. your money's doing great when in reality, you just had a negative month. So you want to definitely find the people who are, you know, going to take the time to be honest with you. And that's my whole show. That's my whole goal with this show, is to just be transparent, show what I'm doing, show what other people's is doing, or show what other people are doing, and give insight to that, right? The transparency and the mistakes help people as much as, you know, the successes do. Cause I think a lot of times the stories of success inspire people, but those failures, those missteps are what really help people, right? Because it helps them avoid them, helps them like deal with those situations themselves. And, you know, actually
that's grow. Absolutely, absolutely right. You know, and like you said, like if I'm going to give somebody 50,000, 100,000, or, you know, maybe it's more, I know that things aren't going to go as planned all the time, right? When I hand over the money, the plan that you laid out to me probably isn't exactly what's going to be executed, because things change, the situation changes, and we have to be flexible. But I'd rather that the operator, or the general partner, you know, be transparent about that and talk to me, or, you know, communicate with the limited partners about, hey, this is how the situation's changed. And this is how we are going to, you know, address it, just vice waving the hand and, you know, saying that everything's okay, and that nothing's changed. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely want some honesty there in your investment for sure. So as we kind of get towards the end here, I know you got a few years in the military left. So what's next for you? What's down the road? Is it more passive investing, or, you know, what's in your goals here?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that, I think I'll probably see a combination of both, you know, active and passive, continuing on. And, you know, ultimately, you know, my goal is to increase the number of income streams that are coming in. You know, right now I've got some things in the works that are some non-real estate income streams, some business opportunities there. And I think on the real estate side, you know, the active stuff, particularly the active stuff that I'm doing back in Missouri with my brothers, will continue on, and we'll build that up. And on my personal side and stuff, certainly in the next couple of years, I think we'll see mostly passive from me. On that, while my time is here in England, you know, like I said, I want to preserve that time with my family and my kids to create memories for them and for us while we're here. And then, kind of as I make the transition out of the military, you know, I think it'll be a combination of the two. You know, I don't know exactly where the balance will be, but between you know, ultimately the goal is financial and freedom to create the time and options for my family to do. And, you know, maybe that's travel. Maybe that is, you know, we have some big goals that we want to do as far as charity, ultimately to like volunteer and to give back, and things like that. And so, you know, I think we'll just have to look to see, you know, how high we set our goals to do those things and what the right strategies are at the time, to achieve those. And so if it requires some amount of, active to kind of escalate, you know, for an initial time period, then that's what we'll do. And long-term, you know, I think we'll kind of transition to, you know, we'll want to be more on the passive side, whether that's strictly some of the passive investment strategies that we talked about, or whether I build some systems and processes in place on the active and back myself out so that, you know, the income streams are there and we create the time for our family to travel or to devote to volunteering or to give money back to the causes that we believe in.
Yeah, I love that. I think the point about financial independence and financial freedom, it's definitely what got me into this and what gets most people to realize that real estate is the way they want to invest their money and what they want to focus their investments on. So I love that piece. All right, it's allowed you to travel around Europe and not worry because you got extra income coming in. And we read this book in our mastermind a couple weeks ago, maybe it was 2 months ago, Wealth Can't Wait.
Oh, yeah.
He talks in there.
About, David Osborne.
Yeah, David Osborne talks about horizontal income, right? Which you just talked about is building different revenue streams. Maybe they're all real estate. Maybe they're, you know, some are business related that aren't real estate, but they all feed to that ultimate goal of financial freedom. So love to hear that. Like, I think your path gives a lot of insight to what's possible for people getting into real estate and, you know, where they can take it, right? You don't have to do everything yourself. You can find the right people, you know, who you know, like, and trust, invest with them and still achieve your goals, right? It doesn't take you, you know, work until midnight and sacrificing time with your family. And that's why I think this is such an important podcast, because that's what ultimately I want is time back with my family, my time freedom. So love that piece. So that I appreciate you sharing that. So as we get here towards the end of the show, got the common questions at the end to ask everybody. So, you know, part of going into the transparency piece, what's been your biggest mistake so far that's turned into a learning lesson for you?
Yeah, you know, so gratefully, I haven't had a mistake that I've like capitalized that's probably the wrong word, taken a huge loss on, right? Like, you know, kind of like in the stock market, you don't actually lose the money until you pull your money out or something. So
yeah,
I haven't had a mistake so big that I've locked in a huge loss. However, I think the biggest mistake that we've really made is with my brothers and I, you know, we kind of got into a time period where we were making quite a few acquisitions in a fairly short time period. And within a couple months, we bought two properties, at auctions, and they're right across the street from each other, actually. And we're pretty geographically separated. You know, there's five of us, there's a couple that are you know, back around my hometown, but the rest of us are out of state, right? And so we, at the time we bought them, we didn't really have insight into how much rehab they really needed, right? And so, you know, we kind of got probably excited about the cost that we were getting them for. And
oh yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, and we did account for some rehab, not nearly enough. And because that wasn't the type of property that we were buying, you know, we weren't buying turnkey necessarily, but we were buying stuff that we could, you know, spend a few thousand, you know, fix up and stuff and have it ready to rent out, or some were more turnkey. But these ones definitely were not, you know, I mean, we're talking some foundation type stuff and some other, you know, fairly major things that we didn't account for. And so they, you know, we bought them and we didn't have a team ready to go. You know, if that's the type of property that you're buying, you have a team ready to go, you close on it, you get in there, you do the work and it's ready. That's great.
The time, yeah.
That's not the type of properties that we were buying. We weren't prepared for it. We didn't have the capital or the teams ready to execute on that. And so they sit there vacant, you know, for a time period and kind of bleeding some money. And so we still have those properties. So, have, you know, we didn't necessarily lock in losses on them. But they, if we had to go back to do it over again, we probably wouldn't have bought those properties at the time that we did, right? Not to say that they're bad investments. If we were more prepared, either financing or with our team set up. But that was kind of a realization for us. And we've had a lot of discussions on that, kind of like, what are we about? What kind of properties are we trying to acquire? What are we prepared to do? Those types of things. So I think those two that we bought at auctions that were needed far more rehab than we were prepared for were a couple of our biggest lessons.
Yeah, that is a awesome lesson. I love this question because you hear so many different perspectives and great learning lessons. So that's, you know, you definitely want to have your strategy and your plan up front and have an idea of what you're getting into. So a lot of times, like, action is super important. So, like, default to just doing it is what I always say, like, you can figure it out later. But
and I think that one of the good things is, you know, I talked about a lot of our properties are in a small rural community. So, you know, they're fairly inexpensive properties in the grand scheme of things, right? So they were, you know, compared to a lot of lessons learned that you hear from people, they, they're probably not near as expensive as lessons learned, but I think they've been big lessons nonetheless.
You learned out of that too, right? I'm sure it was a lot cheaper than a college education or going and paying for some course, right? You just got out there and did it and maybe didn't work out as planned, but you're still holding those and they're cash flowing. So, you know, at the end of the day, not that bad, right? Awesome, man. So what's your favorite resource that you would recommend to somebody, whether it's a book, a website, a blog, or anything in between for somebody starting out?
Yeah, I'm gonna go a little non-traditional probably on this. And my favorite resource is our mastermind, to be honest with you. And it's the people, right? And so I know our mastermind particularly is limited to active duty or to veterans and stuff, but there's a lot of great websites. There's a lot of great books, you know, out there. And so I guess to tie it to the mastermind, I'll give David Osborne another one and Tribe of Millionaires, you know? So if you do go read the book Tribe of Millionaires, and it's a super quick,
really
easy
good
read.
Book. Yeah,
absolutely. But you know,
like a fable, right? It's like the story and it's so applicable. I read it and I was like,
absolutely.
Man. This is,
yeah. So if you know, I think if you want a book or something, to talk about, that one kind of ties to what my resource is. You know, I think our mastermind and just, it doesn't matter. We're spread all throughout the world. Just in my squad, you know, there's a guy and I'm in England. There's another one in England, one in the Netherlands. There's one that was deployed to Kuwait recently, a couple back stateside. And, but even throughout the other squads, you know, there's people have so many different levels of experience. They're doing different strategies. And there's always someone willing to hop on a phone if you have questions to talk to get advice from. Like I said, like, and there's a level of trust in that group as well. Like, all of my passive investments right now are with people in the mastermind, and it's not salesy. You know, we're not necessarily all trying to sell each other on stuff. It's just because you work and learn and educate with each other, you begin to trust each other, and that just builds that foundation, and then the opportunities present themselves there. So that's my favorite resource.
Yeah, that's, man, it, that since getting in that mastermind, like I've doubled my portfolio. The cash flow is more than doubled. It just such a great resource, and it is only for active duty and veteran service members. So if you're in the military, served in the military at any time, what is it? You email David at thewarroommastermind.com.
Yeah, I think it's wrmastermind@gmail.com.
wrmastermind@gmail.com. That's the one. Yeah. If you're active duty or a veteran, email wrmastermind@gmail.com.
Well, I have to confirm that and put it in the show notes there.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes. But great mastermind. It's all, you know, common people or people with a common background. So right, that built-in trust of service is already built in, right? So
if you're not active duty or a veteran, you know, there's a lot of other good masterminds out there. You know, that's the one absolutely. That we're in
find the one that resonates with you, right? Like find people that you can resonate with, share something with, and even if you don't, jump in and, you know, find the people within that group, right? But just by putting your heads together, you know, growing together, like there's so much progress that comes out of that, you know, partnerships, deals, whatever. So those are great resources. I'm glad you brought that one up. That's a good one. First for the war room in here. Yeah. So outside of, you know, real estate, I know we mentioned traveling the world and spending time with family. So what do you like to do outside of real estate?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think that those are a lot of the big things are like, you know, I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old and my wife, right? And so my family is huge to me, and spending the time with them, and whether it's, you know, getting down the floor and playing with them or out in the backyard or traveling, like right now, that's really important to me. It was in the States too, but now that we're over here, you know, we've taken them into countries, into Europe and up to Scotland and things like that. So creating memories and stuff for them is really important to me. My wife and I are both pretty social. She has her own business and podcast and stuff that has to do with entertaining others and welcoming them into our home. And so we're both just love having friends and people around and inviting them to our table and stuff. So we really enjoy that. And I usually stay out of her kitchen. One of my other enjoyments is to barbecue and, you know, kick on the smoker and things like that. So we just love having people around, inviting to the table and entertaining. So that's stuff that we like, enjoy a lot.
I love that, man. It sounds like a lot of fun. My wife has the same pet peeve when I walk in the kitchen and try to help. She's like, this isn't your realm. Just let me do work. So
my kids always say that she's the best indoor cook and I'm the best outdoor cook. So we'll just, stick with that.
Take it where you can. Love that. Right. So Marcus, where can people find out more about you or connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. They can, you know, you can hit me up on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram at marcus.l.long, Facebook, Bigger Pockets, any of those, they can hit me up. And please do, you know, if you have any questions about things that I've talked about today, whether, you know, something new that you haven't heard about, or, you know, you've got questions that might be similar, like, oh, I've had the same struggle. You know, I love helping others, you know, with the experiences I've had. And a lot of times as we help others, we can learn ourselves, you know, and there's so many investors and stuff that have given back to me. So I want to pass that on and give back to others. So please do reach out.
That's awesome, man. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for being on the show today. It was a great one. This is an important topic for people to hear. You know, there's different ways that you can reach your goals and, you know, you're living proof. So thanks for coming on and sharing your perspective with everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, brother.
Yes. All right. See you, man.
All right, man.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you like the show, if you found value in it, please go to iTunes and leave a rating and review. If you want to check out more on your multifamily journey, go to multifamilyjourney.com, where you can get free resources to start your journey and figure out your path. That's multifamilyjourney.com. But more importantly, go take action today towards your financial future. See you next time.